Thanks so much. Now let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 5. If you have them open, just leave them right there. We'll be dealing with those verses you read tomorrow morning. But tonight we're going to look at verses 38 through 41. Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 41. And I want to talk to you tonight about an eye for an eye. On December the 20th, 1974, a little 10-year-old boy by the name of Christopher Carrier got off a school bus in Coral Gables, Florida, in the U.S. He was met by a man who had tan complexion and silver gray hair. He said that he was planning a surprise party for his daddy, and he had some things upstate that he wanted him to see. And so little Chris got into the car, and they started to drive. Chris noted that they weren't going in the right direction, and so he asked why. The man then pulled out an ice pick and started to poke little Chris with it. He then pushed Chris down into the floor in the front of the car. And Chris asked the Lord to forgive the man for what he was doing. And then he asked him, "Why are you doing this?" The man said, "Your daddy was my lawyer, and he lost a lot of money for him. And now he was going to pay him back." He then took out a gun, and he shot little Chris in the head. He left his body in the Florida Everglades, about 80 miles from his fashionable home in Coral Gables, Florida. On December 26th of that year, a man was out hunting deer. He came across Chris's body. Remarkably, Chris was still alive. He took him to the hospital, and the doctors were able to save his life. But little Chris was permanently blind in his left eye. Why? Because one man wanted to take revenge against another man. Truly, revenge is an awful thing. And it's this matter of revenge that Jesus is talking about in this passage that we have before us tonight. Now, I want you to notice three things about revenge. First of all, I want you to notice the justification for revenge by the ones who practice it. And the justification is that the Bible teaches it. Now, look with me at verse 38. Now remember, this is part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He has a congregation of people gathered before him, just like you're gathered before me tonight, except they were on the plateau of a mountain. Now we're on a mountain, but inside. But they were on the plateau of a mountain. Now watch what Jesus says in verse 38. "Ye," now that refers to the people in the congregation, "have heard." Heard from whom? "From the scribes and the Pharisees, that it hath been said," said by whom? Said by Moses, "an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth." Now there's no question but that Moses spoke those words. He spoke them three times in the Old Testament. He spoke them in Exodus 21:24. He spoke them again in Leviticus 24, I believe it's around verse 20, and again in Deuteronomy 19, verse 21. Now, these words literally mean that if somebody puts out your eye, an eye of that person is to be put out for your eye that he put out, his eye for your eye. If somebody knocks out your tooth, and a tooth of that person is to be knocked out for your tooth that he knocked out. Literally, that's what it means. Now, there's no evidence that this was ever literally done. If a person put out your eye, there's no evidence that an eye of another person or the person who put out your eye would be put out literally. But what the scribes and Pharisees did was to take what Moses said and they interpreted it this way. They said what Moses said means that if someone injures us, we are to injure them in return. They said that this is teaching the right to personal revenge. And so if someone would wrong a scribe or a Pharisee, that scribe or Pharisee would take personal revenge against that person. And if you would go to that scribe or Pharisee and say, "Why are you doing that?" That scribe or Pharisee would look you straight in the eye and say, "Well, what do you want me to do? Disobey what Moses says? Moses says an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. That's what we're doing. That person injured me. I'm injuring that person in return." And Jesus said, "You have heard the scribes and Pharisees over and over again justify their taking personal revenge against a person by saying that Moses said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." And let me tell you something, folks, things haven't changed at all. We're living many years later. But people today still do the same thing. If someone wrongs them, they'll take revenge against that person. And then you go to them and say, "Why are you doing that?" They'll look you straight in the eye and say, "After all, the Bible says, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. I'm just doing what the Bible says. I'm getting revenge like the Bible says." And they want to justify their taking personal revenge by claiming that the Bible teaches that they should do it. But now that we've seen the justification for taking revenge by those who practice it, let's look next at the injunction of Jesus against taking personal revenge. Jesus says that we're not to do it. Notice what we read in verse 39. But, now this is Jesus speaking, in contrast to what the scribes and Pharisees said, "I, Jesus, say unto you, that ye resist not evil," or better translated, "ye resist not the evil one." The evil one is one who does injury to you. The word resist literally means to set yourself against, and in this case, the evil one who has done injury to you, to do injury to him in return. And Jesus says, don't do it. He says, don't set yourself against the evil one, the one who does injury to you, to do injury to him in return. In other words, don't take revenge against the one who has done injury to you. Now, what is Jesus doing? Is he contradicting the Old Testament? Is this a matter where in the Old Testament we have a lower standard of conduct, where it is all right to take personal revenge against a person? It's according to the law. But now Jesus comes along and we're going to have a higher standard of conduct, where it's wrong to do that. Is that what is involved here? Absolutely not. God's standard of conduct never changes. He doesn't have one standard for one period of time and another standard for another period of time. His standard of conduct is always the same. Jesus is not contradicting the Old Testament, but rather what he is doing is contradicting the wrong interpretation that the scribes and Pharisees put on those verses in the Old Testament. Now, when you and I look at those verses, we find that those verses where it says an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, burning for burning, life for life, those verses are addressed to judges. And those verses are addressed to judges to give them a principle that they are to follow when they sentence people who have broken the law. When a judge sentences a person who has broken the law, he is to follow the principle, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. In other words, the sentence that he gives a person who has broken the law is to fit the crime of which he is guilty. And that is a principle that we need to have practiced by judges today. If judges would just practice that principle, we would see a big difference in our society. But judges don't want to practice that principle in many cases. Thank the Lord there are some judges who do, but some judges don't. We had a case in the U.S., in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. A girl was raped by a man. The man was caught in the process of committing the rape. The case was brought before a judge in Philadelphia. Do you know what that judge did? That judge gave this man, because it was his first offense, 7 years probation. He didn't even have to go to jail. When the 16-year-old girl heard this, she said, "If I knew you were going to do that, I wouldn't have reported a rape." And then the judge had the nerve to rebuke that 16-year-old girl for what she said. Do you know what happened to that man when he was released on probation? Not long after that, he attempted to rape a 43-year-old woman. Do you want to know why the crime rate is so high in the U.S.? It's because of repeaters. And you know why you have repeaters? Because judges will not follow this principle of making the sentence that they give fit the crime that has been committed. If you take repeaters off the street, the crime rate goes way down. And I don't know how it is in here in Singapore, but I know that if judges will follow this principle, that when they sentence someone who has broken the law, that sentence is to fit the crime that is committed, you would find you wouldn't have a great many repeaters out there on the street. You would find that the crime rate, in all probability, would go down. Now, those verses, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, have nothing to do with personal revenge. They are addressed to judges. They give a principle that judges are to follow in sentencing people who have broken the law. The scribes and Pharisees took those verses out of context, and they used them to teach that they had the right to practice personal revenge, to take personal revenge against one who had injured them. Now, what Jesus is saying doesn't contradict the Old Testament. It contradicts the wrong interpretation that those scribes and Pharisees put on those verses. Far from contradicting the Old Testament, the words that Jesus said are in perfect agreement with what the Old Testament says. Now, I want you to take your Bibles, and I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 20, and look at verses 22. Now remember, this was written by the wisest man who ever lived, apart from our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 20, and verse 22. "Say thou not, I will recompense evil." Don't say, "I'm going to pay a person back for the evil that he has done to me." He goes on to say, don't do that, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. Now, Solomon made it very clear there that we are not to take personal revenge when somebody wrongs us, but we're to wait on the Lord and let him take care of the matter. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 24 Look at verse 29. Solomon speaking again. He says, "Say not, I will do so to him as he hath done to me." Don't say, "I'm going to do exactly to him what he did to me. You see what he did to me? I'm going to do that to him." He said, don't say that. Don't say, "I will render to the man according to his work." Don't say, "I'm going to pay the man back for what he did to me." In other words, it's forbidding personal revenge. What Jesus said and what Solomon said are exactly the same. Jesus' teaching does not contradict the Old Testament. Far from it, it is in perfect agreement with it. And what you and I need to do is to obey the injunction of Jesus. Obey what Solomon says under the control of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. And make sure that when someone wrongs us, when someone injures us, that we don't take personal revenge against that person. Because if we do, we are violating not only what Solomon said in the Old Testament, but the command of Jesus himself. Once there were two farmers, and their farms were divided by a small river. One farmer was a Christian, the other was not. One day, the cows of the farmer who was a Christian got loose. They went across the river, and they went into the cornfield of the farmer who was not a Christian. That cornfield, the corn was in roasting ear stage, all ready to be harvested. Those cows destroyed about a half acre of his corn. He gathered the cows together, put them in his barn, and then he contacted the Christian farmer. He said, "If you want your cows back, you're going to pay for them. And not only that, if you want them back, you're going to pay me for every ear of corn that I lost." The Christian did. Later on that year, the non-Christian farmer had some pigs. They got loose. They went across the river into the potato patch of the Christian farmer. Now you can imagine what those pigs did to that potato patch. They did a number on that potato patch. The Christian gathered the pigs together, took them back across the river to the non-Christian farmer. The non-Christian farmer saw the Christian farmer coming with his pigs. He ran and got his shotgun, and he said, "If he harms one of those pigs, I'll kill it." But he found that the Christian farmer was returning the pigs to him. And when he saw that, he put down his gun. And when the farmer was there, he said, "There's something different about you." The Christian farmer just looked at him and said, "Well, here are your pigs. You go ahead and take care of them. I'd like you and your wife to come to my house for dinner tonight." Now, it's pretty hard after he had brought the pigs back to say no. And so he said, "All right, my wife and I will come." They went to his house for dinner, and before they left, that Christian farmer had led them to the Lord. They had both trusted Jesus as their own personal Savior. Now, that Christian farmer very easily could have taken revenge against that non-Christian farmer. He could have said, "You," referring to that non-Christian farmer, made me pay to get my cows back. Now you can pay to get your pigs back. You made me pay for every ear of corn you lost. Now you can pay for every potato that I lost." He very easily could have done that, but he didn't do it. Instead, he obeyed the commandment of Jesus not to take personal revenge, and instead, notice, showed love, Christian love, to that man by returning his pigs to him. Now, this brings us down to the third thing I want you to notice, And that is the provocations to personal revenge by others. Now, there are three provocations to personal revenge by others. The first one is the most severe of all. The second one is not as severe as the first one. And the third one is not as severe as either of the other two. Now, let's look at the first provocation to take personal revenge. The first provocation to take personal revenge is bodily injury. Now, notice what we read in verse 39. But I, Jesus, say unto you that ye resist not evil. Don't set yourself against the one who does evil to you to do evil to him in return. But instead of doing that, watch this. Whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Now, Jesus says, if someone comes along and hits you on the right cheek, you're not to turn around and hit him on his right cheek to pay him back. Instead, you are to show Christian love to him by being willing to have that bodily injury repeated. You are to turn the other cheek and let him hit you on the left cheek. You say, now, wait a minute. Are you being realistic? You really expect me to do that? Nobody can live like that. Jesus did. You know, one of the things I love about our Savior, he practiced what he preached. And I want you to see this. Now hold your finger there. I want you to turn to John chapter 18. And I want you to look with me in a few moments at verses 22 and 23. Jesus was before the high priest. The high priest asked Jesus a question. He said, what are you teaching? Jesus says, well, I haven't taught anything in secret. Everything I've taught has been in public. I've taught in the synagogues. I've taught in the temple. Ask the ones that I have taught. They'll tell you what I teach. And the officer of the high priest heard that, took his right hand, and he smote Jesus. Notice verse 22. And when he, Jesus, had thus spoken, one of the officers stood by, struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, answerest thou the high priest so? Now, it doesn't say he struck him on the right cheek, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was the right cheek. Now, what did Jesus do? Did he take personal revenge? You know, he very easily could have said, I'm going to make this officer of the high priest never forget the day he dared to strike the Son of God. He could have done that, but he didn't do it. He showed love to that person by being willing to allow him to strike him again. He did ask that justice be done. Notice what we read. Verse 23. Jesus answered him, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. If I had said something evil for which I deserve to be smitten by the officer of the high priest, have someone testify about what I said that was so evil. But he says, if I have spoken well, why smitest thou me? He asked that justice be done, but he didn't take personal revenge. And you and I need to follow the example of Jesus. If someone does bodily injury to us, we are to show Christian love to that person by being willing to allow that bodily injury to be repeated. But we are not to take personal revenge against that person. Hudson Taylor followed the example of Jesus. One day, Hudson Taylor went to a river. He had hailed a boatman from the other side. While he was waiting for that boatman, another Chinese man came. Now, Hudson Taylor was dressed in Chinese clothes. And this other Chinese man didn't realize Hudson Taylor was a foreigner. And so he made a fist and hit Hudson Taylor in the head, knocked him down in the mud. Hudson Taylor said, "I was tempted to hit him back, but thank God I didn't do it." That boat for which Hudson Taylor had called finally arrived. This Chinese man who had knocked Hudson Taylor down in the mud went over and said to the person that brought the boat in, "I want you to take me to that ship out there in the river." The man said, "I didn't come for you. I came for that foreigner." He said, "What foreigner?" He turned around. Here was Hudson Taylor, a foreigner, dressed in Chinese clothes. And so the Chinese man said, "Why didn't you tell me that you weren't a Chinese man? Why didn't you tell me you were a foreigner?" Hudson Taylor didn't say a word. He got into the boat. He looked at that man and said, "Now, where did you say you wanted to go?" "Well, I wanted to go to that ship out there." "Get in." Got him in the boat. He then had a captive audience. That guy wasn't going to go anywhere. And on the way out to that ship, Hudson Taylor said he witnessed to him, and by the time he got to that ship, tears of repentance were flowing down his cheeks, and that man had trusted Christ as his own personal Savior. Now, Hudson Taylor could have taken personal revenge, and that wouldn't have happened. But because he didn't, that man got saved. Now, listen carefully. Suppose someone lands one on my right cheek. I show Christian love. I let him repeat the injury. And he does. He lands one on this cheek. But then suppose I see that this guy really wants to hurt me. I can defend myself, and I will. But I have to be careful that when I have successfully defended myself, I stop at that point. We don't always do that. We will successfully defend ourselves, and then we cross that line where we say to ourselves, "Now I'm going to teach this guy a lesson so he'll never try anything like that again." Now, folk, what we need to do is let the Lord teach the lessons. He does a far better job of it. You and I successfully defend ourselves, and then we stop right there. We don't go and make that person pay for striking us, for what he did to us. We let the Lord take care of that. Now, here is the first provocation to take revenge: bodily injury. It is a provocation. It provokes you to want to hit the person back. But you don't do it. You allow him to repeat the injury and show Christian love to him. If he's going to try to injure you, you defend yourself. But you don't cross that line and pay him back for what he has done. The second provocation is the loss of personal property. Now notice what we read in verse 40. "And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also." Here's a man who owes a debt to another person. He hasn't paid it. And so the person to whom the debt is owed takes this guy to court and sues him for his coat to satisfy that debt. Now, the coat was the tunic that was worn next to the body. Now, when this fellow takes this fellow who owes him the debt to court and sues him for his tunic to satisfy the debt, to pay the debt, that person very easily could be provoked into taking revenge against the one who took him to court. But Jesus says, don't do that. Don't yield to that provocation to take revenge against that person. Instead of doing that, not only let him have the coat for which he's suing you to satisfy the debt, but you show Christian love to him by giving him your cloak also. Now, the cloak was the outer robe that was worn over the tunic that was next to the body. And it was used as a cover to cover you up, keep you warm at night. It was important. And here Jesus says, now, if someone sues you for your coat, your tunic, to satisfy your debt, don't you take revenge against him, but you give him that tunic and then show Christian love to him by giving him the cloak also in addition. Now, that's what we are to do as well. Suppose you owe a debt and someone takes you to court and sues you for some of your personal property to satisfy that debt. Now, that's a provocation to take revenge, but you are not to yield to it. I'm not to yield to it. We're not to say, you take me to court, I'll take you to court. I'll make you regret the day you ever thought about taking me to court. No. You give him what he asked for to satisfy the debt. You give him a little more to show Christian love to him. You say, well, if I do that, he'll probably take advantage of me. He'll probably try to take me for everything I got. Well, you have a recourse. Do what Jesus did. He asked that justice be done. And you and I can ask that justice be done. Notice the third provocation to take revenge. And that is the imposition of a burden. Now notice what we read in verse 41. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him two. Now in Jesus' day, a Roman soldier could compel a person to carry a load or a burden for him a Roman mile. Now suppose you're living in Jesus' day, and a Roman soldier comes along and says, look, you got to carry this one Roman mile. You could become very bitter against that Roman soldier. And with every step you take, you're saying to yourself, if I ever get a chance to pay him back, I'm going to get even with him for doing this to me. But you're not to do it. Instead of yielding to that provocation to pay him back for making you carry that extra load, for imposing that burden on you, what you're to do is show Christian love by not only carrying it 1 mile, but two. Now, you and I are to do the same thing. You and I are to, we will have burdens imposed on us. Let me give you an illustration. Here's a person who hires you to do a job. There's job description. You ever hear of a job description? So you do everything that job description says that you are to do. But then your boss comes along and says, now look, I want you to do this. That's not in your job description. So you do it. And he keeps piling things on. He doesn't pay you any extra. He keeps piling things on. And you soon get the idea that if I don't do these extra things he has given me, I'm going to lose my job. He's got you over a barrel. Now, what are you going to do? It's a provocation to take revenge. You could very easily take revenge against your boss, but no, you're not to do it. Jesus says what you do is show Christian love to him by doing those things and a little bit more. But you say, if I do that, he'll really take advantage of me. Well, do what Jesus did. He asked that justice be done. Now, here are three provocations to take personal revenge against others. That doesn't mean that these are the only three. These are just three examples of provocations that we can have to get even with other people. And Jesus says we're not to do it. We're not to yield to a provocation to take revenge against another person and take revenge against that person. Instead, we are to show Christian love to that person. Here then is what this passage teaches about personal revenge. We see the justification for personal revenge by them who practice it. They say the Bible teaches it. The Bible doesn't teach it, but that's what they say.
We see the injunction against personal revenge by Jesus. He says we're not to do it. And what Jesus says agrees with what the Old Testament teaches. For the Old Testament teaches that we're not to do it also. And then we see the provocations for revenge by others. Bodily injury, the loss of personal property, the imposition of a burden. Now, I remember some years ago, I preached this message. It was on a Sunday night. And when I finished, the man who was leading the service came up to lead the congregation in the final hymn. When he got up behind the pulpit, he said, "Before we sing the final hymn, I feel I must share something with you." He said, "Some time ago, someone wronged me badly. And I was determined I was going to pay that person back. You know how I was going to pay that person back? I was going to murder that person." He said, "I had picked out the place where I was going to commit the murder. I knew just how I was going to lure that man to that place. I knew how I was going to kill him, and I knew how I was going to cover it up afterward. I had it all worked out." But he said, "Thank God I didn't go through with it. And that's why I'm here tonight." Now I want you to listen carefully, folks. Someone may have wronged you, may have injured you in some way. And you've got it all worked out in your mind just how you're going to get even with that person. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've got it all planned out. You know what you're going to say to that person. You've rehearsed it in your mind. You know just what you're going to do to that person. You've gone over it step by step in your mind. If that's true of you tonight, you need to repent of that before the Lord. You need to ask the Lord, "Forgive you for doing that." And then you need to ask the Lord through the Holy Spirit to enable you to obey the injunction of Jesus not to take personal revenge against the one who has wronged you. And instead of doing that, to show Christian love to that person. I wonder, as we bow our heads, please, and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Perhaps I've been talking straight to you tonight. As you sit there in your seat, you're planning revenge against one who has wronged you. You need to settle this with the Lord right now. You're His child. You'll still be His child. But you need to settle it with Him. And if you are planning to get even with somebody because of what they have done to you, you need to repent of that right now. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Ask the Lord to enable you to obey the commandment of Jesus not to do it, and to enable you to show Christian love to that person instead. If that's so of you, would you do this for me now? Please, no one looking around. Would you just slip your hand up and take it down? I'd love to pray for you. Is there one? Quickly. Anywhere? Just before we pray. Father, it's been so good to be here tonight. And Lord, we thank you for your word and how very practical it is. Lord, if there should be one here tonight, and that person is thinking about getting revenge against another person, give that person victory. Help that person not to do it, but to show Christian love instead. And Lord, when these provocations come to us, and they will come to us, to take revenge, help us through your Holy Spirit not to yield to them, but to show Christian love instead. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.